Blog Talk Radio.
The New York Mets have fired Willie Randolph, but have been playing well as of late. The Yankees are red hot. They've won 8 of their last 10. More news coming out of the Giants camp. And the NHL draft took place on Friday and Saturday. We'll recap that and some legal issues with the New York Rangers. We'll preview the NBA draft. Evan's off tonight. We have somebody else in his place for a little while. We have all that and more coming your way next on Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to episode number 48 of Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. I'm Mark Elliott, Evan Randolph, taking the night off, and so we'll be moving on without him tonight. We do have somebody on the show with us for a little while, another one of our Sports Heaven correspondents, does a lot of behind-the-scenes work, giving us some information for the show beforehand, but with Evan gone, we decided to bring him on air tonight. And Sports Heaven correspondent Brett Wishnia is with us, who's on the air right now. And Brett, how are you doing tonight?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
Well, it is not a problem at all. And there's a lot to talk about, and we want to let the listeners know that if you want to jump into the discussion at any point during the show, there's a couple of ways you could do that. If you have a Blog Talk Radio account, you could simply talk in our Blog Talk Radio web chat. You could also pick up the phone and call us, 718-508-9443. And we certainly suggest you take advantage of that tonight, as Brett on with us is very knowledgeable. He could pretty much answer anything. And then, of course, the last way to contact us is IM us on AOL Instant Messenger at gmen10211780. And during off-show hours, Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan at yahoo.com. So, as I said, there's a lot to talk about. I think we should get started. And, of course, I think we should start with baseball. And we'll start with the New York Mets. Lots of stuff going on surrounding them. Earlier in the week, the firing of Willie Randolph, their former manager now, a few other guys left to go along with him. And I really do not think the Mets handled that well at all. It was really a terrible job. Before the firing, he had won 3 of 4 and 4 of 7. And they went on the road. They fired him after a win. The situation was handled terribly. And Brett, let me get your thoughts on the whole Willie Randolph situation.
Well, I don't think anyone has a problem with them firing Willie. He definitely did not do a good job, dating back to last season's epic collapse, blowing a 7-game lead with 17 games to play. It's the biggest collapse in Major League history. So I don't think anyone can debate whether or not he should have been fired, because I think he did a terrible job. This year, the Mets had way too much talent after acquiring Johan Santana to be under 500, at 500 after today's win. But under 500 at the time of the hiring, at the time of the firing. So I don't think anyone can blame the Mets for firing Willie. The way they went about it was terrible. To make him go on a 5-6 hour flight all the way to the West Coast, win a dramatic game in Anaheim, and then back at the hotel in the wee hours of the morning, telling him that he's gone. That was just a disaster. And then to fire Tom Nieto, the first base coach, I don't understand that firing. He obviously had nothing to do with the team's poor play. And Rick Peterson should go. But I didn't like the way the Mets went about it. But I don't think you could debate whether or not Willie should have been fired. He should have been fired. But earlier in the season, they waited too long. And once he got on that train to the West Coast, they should have let him manage the rest of that trip and then see how they were. And then when they got back to New York, maybe then you could fire him. Either fire him earlier or fire him later, not fire him when they did on that Monday night into Tuesday morning.
I completely agree with you. I don't think anybody's going to debate the firing. But, I mean, it was handled terribly. As I said, he had won 3 of 4, and he was fired after a win. So it's not like he lost and they said, all right, that's it. I mean, that he won the game. You might as well let him continue. And they obviously didn't do that. And Jerry Manuel, who's the interim manager, he's going to be there for the rest of the season. He was the bench coach. Since taking over, he's managed 5 games, and he's 3-2. So he's doing a pretty good job. But the Mets, even before the firing of Willie, they've been playing really well as of late. Because if you take the 4 of 7 that they were when they won, and Jerry Manuel's now 3 of 2, they've won 7 of their last 12. So they've really been doing a fantastic job. And I think Jerry Manuel makes sense as the manager for at least the remainder of the season for the New York Mets. What are your thoughts on Jerry Manuel, Brett?
Well, he did a decent job when he was manager of the White Sox. He did win Manager of the Year in 2000. I don't think he's going to make a difference whether or not they go on a run this year. I mean, they have played well since he took over, but they started playing well before he took over, so I don't think he really deserves too much credit. They did win 2 of 3 from Anaheim, but one of those wins was when Willie was still the manager, and then they just took 2 of 3 from a terrible Colorado Rockies team. So I don't know how much credit you want to give him there. I don't think he's the long-term manager for the Mets. I believe they'll go in a different direction. Unless the Mets make this miraculous run in the postseason this year, then they consider maybe hiring him long-term. But I think the Mets will go somewhere else in the offseason. But, I mean, for the rest of the season, it makes sense. He knows the players. He's been with the organization for 4 years, 3 years as the bench coach, and I believe 1 year as the first base coach. But for the rest of this year, it's definitely the only way you could go. You normally want to stay in-house. He knows the team. He knows the players. And maybe he has this magic touch that can get the Mets on a roll for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. I can't really add much to that. But pretty much the distraction is over with the New York Mets. You can't hear, oh, they're going to fire him, they're going to fire him, when it's going to happen. That's completely gone. Manuel's there. He's there to stay for the rest of the season. So, I mean, I guess the firing really should motivate the players. And I feel like the games leading up to the firing motivated the players because they were playing well. So I feel like the Mets do have some motivation right now, which certainly is good for them. They still have Moises Alou out. They still have Angel Pagan out. They still have Ryan Church out, which certainly is nothing good for them. But, there's no more distractions, and they should be playing well, and they have been playing well lately. Beltran came through today. David Wright had an RBI single. So, it was another good win for the Mets today. And I like what I'm seeing from them lately. I mean, there's really nothing else you could say. Once again, if you want to contact us, you call us, 718-508-9443, or talk in our Blog Talk Radio web chat. You could also IM us on AOL Instant Messenger at gmen1021-1780. Our show right now is scheduled for 90 minutes. I don't think it's going to reach 90 minutes, but just in case we need the time, it's there. Evan, excuse me, I'm so used to talking to Evan. Brett, do you have anything else to add with the New York Mets?
No, I mean, it's a good time for them to get on the roll. They start a series tomorrow against the Seattle Mariners, who are just a dreadful baseball team. They can't hit, their pitching has been weak, and coming into the season, they had such high expectations that this week they just fired their general manager and manager. They're heading nowhere. They're probably ready to clean house, maybe shopping guys like maybe Eric Bedard being on the block, maybe some of their other veterans, maybe Richie Sexton. So the Mariners are just a lost cause for the season. So it's a good opponent for the Mets to try to add, keep on winning some more games. The Phillies are struggling. They just got swept by the Angels. So the Mets are not even that far behind them. And, I mean, the Mets are not out of this by any stretch of the imagination. They play in a weak league. The National League does not have many great teams. They're at 500 right now, but they're definitely not out of it. So playing the Mariners is not a bad thing, because I expect them to win. If they don't win 2, it would be a huge disappointment this week. So I expect them to win at least 2 against the Mariners. Tomorrow's matchup is a great one. It's King Felix Hernandez, against Johan Santana, which will be an excellent excellent game. But I don't think the Mets are in a bad position right now. And Jerry Manuel will get all the credit, but I think they fired Willie at a time where they knew the Mets could get on a potential roll. With they just beat the Rockies, who are a dreadful team, and now the Mariners coming into town. So we'll see what the Mets do from here.
Yeah, I agree. Two of three certain seems logical. They definitely have to win tomorrow with their ace on Santana. And, you know, he hasn't really been the lights-out pitcher they've been hoping for, but just keeping them in games, his ERA is fantastic. And I think they need to get that win tomorrow. And with the way their offense has been rolling, they should be able to win that game tomorrow for sure. But that pretty much sums up the New York Mets. So I want to talk about the New York Yankees now. And the New York Yankees really have been a red-hot team. They did lose the series to the Cincinnati Reds 2-3. But they were facing guys like Edinson Volquez, who has just been lights out against everybody this season. And I believe, what's the number, Brett? They're one of only five teams who scored two runs against him, or is that correct? Yeah, so, I mean, he's just absolutely ridiculous. You can't necessarily expect to win. And I mean, Chin Ming Wong is out, so they couldn't pitch him. Dan Geist did do beautifully. We'll get to that in just a moment. But the Yankees have won 8 of 10. They've just really been fantastic. They won the game today against the Cincinnati Reds. You can't really argue with anything that they've done lately. Joe Girardi's been on a roll, and a lot of the players, Jason Giambi's been good. Hideki Matsui's been slumping a little bit. His knee's bothering him, but Hideki Matsui's still doing well. Alex Rodriguez has been hitting home runs. So everybody's doing well right now for the New York Yankees. Their pitching staff right now is a little bit of a question, both in the bullpen and the starting rotation. Of course, Chin Ming Wong is out. And you have Kyle Farnsworth, who hurt himself today. So you don't know what's going to be the deal with him. He had an incision, I believe, in his hand that needed to get stitched up. I don't think it's too big of a deal. But there still are question marks with the New York Yankees pitching. But I think we have to go over yesterday's game with Dan Geist, who was filling in for Chin Ming Wong. And he did a fantastic job. I mean, it's unbelievable how well he did. He didn't allow any earned runs, and he was very economical with his pitches. He did a fantastic job, but he did allow a couple of runs because of an error on his part. There was a ground ball to him, and he made a wide throw to second base, so that didn't really work out for him. And that was an excellent performance. I think he threw around 70 pitches, and he went 7 innings, right, Brett?
I don't think he finished the seventh inning. He was taken out after
6 2/3, actually. Yeah, he went 6 2/3, didn't allow any earned runs, although, you know, I think that if there's an error on the pitcher, it should be an earned run since it's the pitcher's error. I mean, I guess it could be confusing, but it's really unbelievable how he did. He only threw 70-something pitches in the 6 2/3. Again, no earned runs. So, I mean, that has to give some positive feedback into the Yankee fans' minds, knowing that he could be a decent replacement. And I think the reason he was so successful is the same reason that Mike Mussina has been so successful this year, because he doesn't have that velocity, but his control is unbelievable. His location is great. So that was a beautiful performance by Dan Geist yesterday. Unfortunately, the Yankees did end up losing 6-0. After they took him out, Jose Varas gave up a 2-run home run, and I mean it really started from Dan Geist's error. But Brett, what are your thoughts on Dan Geist and the New York Yankees, who have won 8 of 10?
Well, I don't think you should get carried away with Dan Geist. He's a 31-year-old career minor leaguer. He's bounced around from organization to organization. He was with the Giants last year, and last year was the first time that he was even called up to the majors as a 30-year-old. So I don't think Yankee fans should really get their hopes up. I don't think Dan Geist is a long-term answer to fill in for Wong, but for the short term, he's what we have right now to go to. He did pitch very well yesterday, but I mean, he has to take the blame. He made a terrible throw. It should have been a double play. It should have been two outs, no one on there in the seventh inning, but he threw the ball terribly wide. Cano had a lunge to just keep the ball in the infield, and that set up the disastrous inning, which led to 3 runs. The Yankees ended up losing the game 6-0. He did pitch a very good game, but I would expect him to only make a few more starts, and the Yanks are going to have to make a trade for a frontline pitcher. Otherwise, they're not going to go anywhere this year. You saw it in past years. The Yankees just never had that ace that they could count on to run out to the mound who you knew would pitch a great game in the postseason. The Yanks are lucky enough to get to the postseason. Dan Geist will not be on the roster. Dan Geist on the roster in the postseason, the Yanks will be out in the first round. You could count on that. As far as the whole week is concerned, they did very well against the Padres. They swept them. The third game of that series was the only competitive game. They won 2-1, so they made the Padres look like minor leaguers, so that was a good sign. And this weekend against the Reds, Friday night, you can't kill them. They face Edinson Volquez, who no one has been able to hit. So, okay, you lose Friday's game, you can live with that. Yesterday's game, they had no business losing. Second inning, they had bases loaded, no one out against the rookie, Thompson from the Reds. And then Posada strikes out, Cano flies out, and then Nelke strikes out. And from there on, you knew it was going to be a bad night for the Yanks. The Yanks just couldn't get the big hit, and they ended up losing that game 6-0 after they fell apart in the seventh inning. And today's game, they needed to have it. And you had the guy on the mound that you would want to have on the mound when you need to end the losing streak, want to avoid being swept, and that's Andy Pettitte. He always seems to come up big when you need him the most. Pettitte pitched a brilliant ball game. He left after six innings, after an hour rain delay that occurred in the middle of this game today. The Yanks won that game 4-1. They got a big hit from Giambi, a big hit from Posada. Good work out of the bullpen from Edouard Ramirez, who looked lights out, from even Kyle Farnsworth, who had a lead with the injury, as you mentioned, and then Mariano came on for the four-out save to close the door, and the Yanks win this game 4-1. They're currently five games behind the Red Sox in the American League East, 3.5 behind the Tampa Bay Rays for the wild card. So the Yanks are in much better shape at this point this year than they were last year. They got off to a slow start both times, but the Yankees didn't bury themselves this year like they did last year. The Rays have played well, and it's hard to say that you don't expect them to be there all year, but I expect once push comes to shove, when August comes around, the Rays will show their inexperience, and they will fade. And I do expect the Yankees to make the postseason some way, somehow. If it's not the division, I do expect them to make it the wild card. I know the A's are a half game ahead of the Yankees right now, but I also don't trust them. The A's may even be looking to trade guys such as Rich Harden, so I don't expect the A's to be there all year. I think the Yankees are in excellent shape. They're going to Pittsburgh this week, a team that they should beat up on. They got Jabba going in this series. Rasner is pitching the first game of the series, and Mike Mussina is pitching the other game. So you do have the pitchers that you like, and I expect them to do damage against Pittsburgh. And then next weekend is the fun series against the Mets, the two-stadium doubleheader on Friday. We don't know who is going to. We know Dan Guy's going to start one of the games. We don't know who the other starter for the other game. The starter for the other game is going to be Sidney Ponson, who the Yankees signed as an option. Alan Horn, one of the Yankee prospects, is an option, and Kay Gao, who I hope they do not use, is another option. I do think the Yankees will use Ponson to start the other game, and you never know what could happen with that. You do have Andy Pettitte to pitch the Saturday game, and Darryl Rasner to pitch the Sunday game. Right now, the Yankee pitching by names do not look good, but Rasner's pitched well. So you're going to keep on riding them out until you acquire someone else, or maybe Ian Kennedy or Phil Hughes comes back. So right now, Rasner's going to stay. And the question is whether Dan Geis, how many more starts they're going to let him make. He definitely deserves another start because of his brilliant performance yesterday. But I don't think he will make many more than four or five starts. I do expect the Yankees to go out and acquire someone. If it's not CeCe Sabathia, if it's not Eric Bedard, then someone maybe like Bronson Arroyo, Randy Wolf, someone like that, they're going to have to bring in another arm. With Wong out to September, you cannot count on Dan Geis keeping this up. He's a 31-year-old minor leaguer, and there's a reason for that. He's just not a big-time pitcher, but hopefully he can have like an Aaron Small type thing, get hot for a little while, catch lightning in a bottle, and hopefully lead this team, you know, as far as he can take them. But I do not expect him to be the long-term option. And I mean, the Yankees are six games over 500. They're not in bad shape at all. The Rays lost today, so they gained the game they lost yesterday back today. And we'll see what happens. But I like what I've seen from the Yankees. Frustrating first two games of the series, but nothing to worry about. And hopefully they get on a roll.
Well, for anyone wondering, I am still here. I don't know if you realized, as Brett went on a 20-minute rant there, which is just fine. He took us from last Friday all the way into this upcoming August. But I want to go back to last Friday for a second. The guy I want to talk about is Mike Mussina, who has been outstanding. And even though they did get the loss on Friday, Mike Mussina went eight solid innings. He did give up 10 hits, but he only allowed four runs. And the defense behind him wasn't fantastic. A lot of times it isn't behind Mike Mussina. He did strike out four. He gave up four runs, but I think Mike Mussina, I mean, he pitched another fantastic game. He'll be pitching in the upcoming series. I mean, Mike Mussina has been unbelievable this year. And as I said before, you know, he's been good. You know, like Dan Geist did good because of the location and Mike Mussina. He's really challenging the hitters. He's coming inside. You know, he used to like to stay towards the outside of the plate, and all year he's been coming inside, really challenging the hitters, throwing strikes. I mean, and he's really done a fantastic job this season. He's been performing above everybody's expectations except for Evan. I'll give Evan credit, who's not here tonight. He predicted earlier in the season that Mike Mussina would have 10 wins by the end of June, which happens to be correct. I predicted that he'd have 8 wins the whole season, so I was certainly way off. But he really has been performing above everybody's expectations. And, Brett, do you have any additional thoughts on Mike Mussina?
He did pitch in hard luck on Friday. He gave up 4 runs in 8 innings of work. But one of those innings when he gave up 3 runs, it was kind of misleading because there was a ball that Johnny Damon on most nights is going to catch. He happened to lose it in the lights, hit off the tip of his glove, which led to those 3 runs scoring, and also a play at the plate where Jose Molina, just out of laziness, did not reach out his glove to try to tag the guy. He just left it in front of the plate, and the guy slid around it, which also led to a run. So that the defense certainly didn't help Mussina on Friday. He has pitched very well, but I don't think he's a guy that you want to be your number 2 starter. He's a guy that you want to pitch game 3 or game 4 of a postseason series. If you have Mike Mussina matched up against, I don't know, someone like Dice K of the Red Sox, or a guy like Fausto Carmona from last year who pitched for the Indians. I mean, Mike Mussina is not that type of guy. He's not. You can't count on him to put up 0 after 0 after 0 like he did in the postseason series. So you would rather him be the number 4 starter for a postseason series. So I don't think the Yankees should be thrilled that he right now would probably start game 2 of a postseason series if the Yanks made it that far. That's why I think the Yankees are desperately need to add an arm, someone that they could stick to pitch game 2 of that postseason behind either Wong or Pettit. And
I don't think Wong's there.
I'm going to assume Wong will be back on September 1st, like Cash mentioned. But, I mean, Mussina's been great, but he should be your number four starter, not your number 2 starter. So I don't think he's someone you can count on. But so far, he's pitched great. He has 10 wins. He's 10-5. And let's see how long he can keep it up.
Yeah, I agree. His age is certainly in question. And with all the injuries that the Yankees have had, you can never rule out an injury. You can never expect it either or assume that it's going to happen. But for the time being, he really has been fantastic. And you can't argue with what he's done. And he didn't seem to ever lately have that game where you said, okay, well, that's it. Now he's not good anymore. I mean, he's really been consistent. And that's what most Yankee fans probably like to see from him. There's no doubt about that. And you can't argue with consistency.
I mean, you know that Mussina, though, is not going to pitch lights out every time he goes out there. There are going to be nights where he goes 6 innings, gives a 4 or 5 runs, and you're just going to hope that Yankee offense can score more runs than he gives up. I mean, he's not going to be a guy that's going to go 7 innings, 2 runs every time out. He just doesn't have that kind of stuff, so you can't really rely on that. So that's why he's not a number 2 starter. He's more of a number 4 starter at this stage of his career.
Can't argue with that logic. And unless anybody else has anything to add about the Yankees and Mets, again, call 718-508-9443 or IM us, GMEN 10211780 on AOL Instant Messenger, of course. And if you have a Blog Talk Radio account, just speak to us in our Blog Talk Radio web chat, probably the easiest way to do that. But I think that pretty much sums up the Yankees and Mets. And we're going to take a 2-minute commercial break. I don't know if Brett will still be with us. He may not. So we'll be right back. And then we'll move on to a ton of other things that have to be covered. We'll recap the NHL draft. We'll preview the NBA draft. We'll talk about some legal issues that the New York Rangers are having. Last week we spoke about some controversy around Giants camp with Jeremy Shockey getting into a fight with Jerry Reese and Plexico Burris holding out. And now there's some more controversy and things going on surrounding their camp. We'll get to that after. So there's still a lot going on. We'll sum that up for you. So we're going to take a 2-3-minute break, and we'll be right back.
Why is SportsCenter with Mark and Evan the best sports radio show for you to tune into? We've had Newsday sports writer Jim Bandback on our show.
The baseball season is so long, and then it's long enough where you can play so poorly for, you know, we're not talking, 2 weeks here. They were playing poorly for over a month.
NHL.com's Evan Grossman has been on our show.
This is the worst, this unstoppable force that everybody thought they were after winning all the Russians. And then the Rangers were actually a little bit better against them than the Islanders were. They weren't quite as physical, and I don't think the Rangers' defense is as good as the Islanders, but...
We have also had New York Mets beat writer from the New York Post, Mark Hale, on our show.
The Mets not just being a good team or a competitive team, but the Mets being consistently over the last year and a half one of the two or three best teams in baseball.
And, of course, we've had New York Rangers radio broadcaster and Fox announcer Kenny Albert on our show.
Back-to-back-to-back, Ramirez, Rulo, Veritek, the rookie Chase Wright is making only his second career start. Four consecutive Red Sox home runs in the third inning.
We have even had NBC sports anchor Bruce Beck on our show.
And now the guy that was the stable guy, Mark and Evan, is gone, Joe Torre. And now it looks again like there's a big Steinbrenner, you know, who's running the show, and that's Hank. I think he's the guy that's got his dad's personality in terms of a little bit of a temper, and who knows what's going to happen here with all these free agents.
In addition, we've had Yankees beat writer for MLB.com, Brian Hoke, on our show.
You know, if the Yankees falter like they did in the first half, I could see a real situation where they're in third or even as low as fourth. Probably not fourth, but I could see a situation where the Yankees finish in third place.
And the list just continues on. We have also had New York Mets beat writer from the New York Daily News, Adam Rubin, on our show.
I don't think they're a lock by any stretch. I think they're certainly the favorite in the NL East. Certainly injuries could undermine the Mets, and they're the oldest team in baseball, so it's certainly susceptible to that.
And it doesn't end there. We have also had New York Jets cornerback Darrell Revis on our show.
So, overall, how satisfied are you in the way that you played your rookie season?
I'm not, trust me. My uncle, he's my biggest critic. And the year has passed, and, it's a new year. It's a lot of more things that when I look back on film, I could have did better. And, now this is my second year to, overcome that and do a lot of more positive things in my game.
You're listening to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. It's the best sports radio show the Internet can handle.
Okay, welcome back to the show, Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. Evan taking the night off. We still have Sports Heaven correspondent Brett Wishnia here with us to talk sports, and it's a pleasure to have him on tonight. And just another reminder, if you have anything to say, call us, 718-508-9443. You could also IM us on AOL Instant Messenger at gmen1021-1780. And if you have a Blog Talk Radio account, speak to us on our Blog Talk Radio web chat. All right, so let's get started with all the other things going on around New York sports. I want to quickly talk about the New York Giants, some things that are going on with them. The two things that I want to mention, not huge issues, not anything that's going to spark a huge discussion, but just throwing it out there, Ahmad Bradshaw is currently serving a 30-day jail sentence for violating probation. His original offense, he had stolen a PlayStation. And I don't think anyone's really sure of how he violated the probation or what exactly it was. He'll be back out mid-July before the start of training camp. And you just hope that he doesn't do any other stupid things prior or in or during the season. Of course, last year during the Super Bowl run, he was a huge contributor with injuries to Derek Ward and Brandon Jacobs. Of course, at times you certainly could tell he was a rookie with a couple of fumbles here and there, including in the Super Bowl. But he really was a star player as a seventh-round draft pick. He's going to be great. He has an unbelievable burst of speed. So you just have to hope that he doesn't do anything else stupid. As I said, it's only a 30-day jail sentence. He'll be out before the start of training camp. So everything's good there. And then another guy, not nearly as big a deal, Jeffrey Pope. He got charged for a He was charged for an assault, I believe it was. And Jeffrey Pope, he saw some action last year with some injuries to the secondary to the New York Giants. He wasn't anything special. He wasn't in the way or anything. You know, he did a decent job. I don't know if he'll make the team this year, but I don't know if he's going to be out of jail either. But that's just what's going on surrounding the New York Giants camp. And, you know, that's just the sloppiness you get. Shockey doesn't want to be there. Plaxico Burress not happy with the contract. You got two people in jail. And also,
Pope's not in jail. He's just been
charged. And,
but as far as Ahmad goes, I know when you heard the news, you were devastated since Ahmad quickly became your favorite player after watching him play last year. But it's not a big deal. From what I understand, the violation of his probation came while he was still in college. So none of this came while he was a member of the Giants. So he hasn't done anything stupid since being a pro. It's not a big deal. He'll be ready for training camp. I don't think the league can suspend him because none of this happened while he was a pro. He seemed to have cleaned up his act once the Giants drafted him. And he probably did go in the seventh round much later than he would have because of these off-the-field issues. He's a much better player than a seventh-round player, and he probably upped a few rounds because of this. But I don't think it's a big deal. He'll be ready to go once training camp starts. And then that week one game against the Redskins that Thursday night, I expect him in the backfield at some point during that game.
And just speaking of the backfield of the New York Giants, one more thing, another player not so happy, Brandon Jacobs. I don't know if he's not happy, but him and the New York Giants are far from a contract agreement. It's not like his contract is up. He's not going to be a free agent. He'll certainly be playing for the Giants this year, but they're far from an extension.
Well, he's a free agent at the end of the season, and I could definitely see the Giants letting him walk, especially if Ahmad Bradshaw continues to emerge, and they did sign Derek Ward back this offseason. So I could definitely see the Giants letting Jacobs walk. He's a little overrated. He doesn't exactly know how to run. He just tries to run over everyone. He never tries to elude anyone. So I could definitely see the Giants not paying him and just letting him walk and letting Ahmad and Derek take the bulk of the carries in the backfield next season for them, because I don't think Jacobs is a necessity. How many teams have three running backs, and why pay him when you have two other guys that could do the job? If not as I mean, I think they do it better. I think Jacobs is the third best running back on the team right now. I love Derek Ward, and I like Ahmad Bradshaw a lot, and I think they could definitely handle the job, and I would let Jacobs walk. I would not overpay for him. He's definitely not worth the money.
Well, let me ask you this while we're on the topic. What if the Giants chose to let Ahmad Bradshaw and Derek Ward, maybe not this season, but next season, fight it out for who gets the starting job, and then put Jacobs back as the third or fourth down running back?
No, because he's going to want way too much money to do that. The reason that the Giants and him, his agent, can't come to an agreement because Jacobs is asking for way too much money. So there's no way that he's going to agree to come back to the Giants and be a third down running back. I'm sure some team out there is willing to let him be their every down running back, excuse me, and give him the money he wants, and it's just not worth it. So Jacobs can go somewhere else, make his money, and try to become a star over there. But if I were the Giants, I would not give him the money and just let him go elsewhere. Let him play this season without a contract. He'll be more motivated, maybe put up big numbers, and then let him walk at the end of the year.
Okay, just under a half hour remaining in our show and still a lot to cover. So let's move into the NHL now as we covered the New York Giants for a little bit. There's nothing really going on with the New York Jets camp right now, I don't think. And, of course, on Mother's Day a couple of weeks ago, we had Darrell Revis, who was previewing the season for us in the draft. So you could certainly go to Sports7 with markanddevin.webs.com to hear that interview. We also have a new video up on YouTube, and that is also right on the front page of our official site, Sports7 with markanddevin.webs.com. It's Mark with a K. So let's move into the NHL, and before we get into the specifics of the Rangers and the Islanders and their draft, let's talk about a little legal dispute going on between the New York Rangers and the NHL, which I find very interesting. I don't know what the outcome of that is going to be, But right now, the Rangers and the NHL are in a legal dispute over who has control of the team's website and the team's promotions. The New York Rangers would prefer to have full control of their own website and promotions. Based on some NHL rules and voting that occurred between owners, supposedly the NHL is supposed to have full control over their teams, the NHL is going to have full control over the team's websites. Of course, the MLB has that, and the NFL has that. The MLB and the NHL have that. So, that's pretty much the deal with that. And the NHL has threatened, if the Rangers do not turn over what they wanted over their site and their promotions, the NHL has threatened to kick the owners, Dolan, out of the league and possibly MSG. I don't know where the Rangers would play if that would happen. I really don't know how that would work. But that's pretty much the issue there, which...
This is just a story that in the end is going to mean nothing. The Rangers, I don't know why they're making such a big deal about not having control of their own team website. I don't know what they want to add to this website that isn't already there. You see that pretty much in all the leagues that it's controlled by the league, these websites. So I think the Rangers are making a big deal about nothing. They never seem to do well when they file these lawsuits. I don't expect any of this to happen. I highly doubt that Bettman is going to kick Dolan and MSG out of the league. It probably would be good for the Rangers to get Dolan out of there because Dolan has just been a disastrous owner for both the Rangers and the Knicks. He has no idea what he's doing, and it would just be better if Dolan didn't own the Rangers because the Rangers would probably be able to have a more successful franchise. But I don't expect anything to happen with that. I think it's just a story because it's a dead time in hockey, and the hockey writers needed to write a story, but I don't think there's really anything to it.
Well, I don't know. I don't think Dolan's done certainly as bad as with the Rangers as he has with the Knicks. The Knicks don't know how to win games. The Rangers have made the postseason the last couple of years. Their coaching staff is good, and he doesn't control the players. I mean, they have a legitimate general manager, but he certainly has done a bad job with the Knicks. I'm not too angry with him with the Rangers. But
he's been a better owner since the lockout. Before the lockout, he was a disastrous owner. Remember, all Ranger fans wanted Glenn Sather fired for so many years. The Rangers went 7 straight years without making the postseason. They would just throw money at big-time free agents such as Bobby Holik, Peter Nedved, Darius Kasparov, and they were all major busts. And it was time for Glenn Sather to go. But after the lockout, Glenn Sather used his money more wisely, starting to bring in guys like Chris Drury and Scott Gomez, winning type players, and spending his money wisely. So now Dolan has just stayed out of the organization, and Glenn Sather has actually started to bring in better players and do a better job. So since the lockout, Dolan hasn't been as big an issue with the Rangers. But you see, Dolan is like loyal to a fault, because with the Knicks, I mean, I don't know how Isaiah Thomas lasted as long as he did. The Knicks were just a disastrous franchise. They were an embarrassment to the league. They were not a competitive team. Isaiah Thomas kept on making bad trade after bad trade, kept on trading draft picks away, which the Knicks desperately need, and he kept on getting further and further and further above the cap, making it impossible for the Knicks to get any better. And then finally, they let him go, but they didn't even let him go. I mean, he has some title with the organization. It's not a major title, but the fact that he's still associated with the organization is a disaster. Isaiah Thomas did nothing but bad things for the Knicks, and the fact that James Dolan let him run this franchise for as long as he did, I mean, that was a major problem. Now let's hope Donnie Walsh has a better idea of how to run a basketball franchise, and it's going to start with this NBA draft on Thursday and see if the Knicks can get a player that they could have on their team for a long time.
And before we get into the NBA draft, just steering back towards the Rangers legal issue, if they were to kick the owners and MSG out, I think that the NHL would lose a whole lot of money, and it would certainly not be good for the league at all. So chances are they'll come to some kind of agreement or charge some fine, or I don't know if a suspension would do them any good either, but I wouldn't be advantageous to the NHL at all. All right, so now before we go into the NHL draft, just a few bad notes from the New York Rangers. A lot of their free agents, we may not see them next year. One of the big ones, Sean Avery, they're very far from a deal. He quickly became a fan favorite, and he's hated everywhere else around the league. Of course, whatever team he goes to, those fans will start to love him. But Sean Avery really would be a huge loss for the New York Rangers, and I mean, I would say that there's a 99% chance that he is not back next year. And some of the other guys that we might not see, there's Shanahan, Yager, Roosevelt, who was probably one of their better defensemen last year. I mean, nobody else really would play defense. You had the young guys in Girardi and Stahl, but Roosevelt, you could always count on him, and then Straka as well. He's could possibly be gone, so that's not good with the New York Rangers at all.
Well, I think the most important guy in that group clearly is Sean Avery. The record was obvious when he played. The Rangers were just a better team. He added more fire. He was a tough guy. He wasn't only a goon, though. He wasn't like the guy who you see on the fourth line who his only ability is to fight. Avery actually has the ability to score goals. I think the Rangers should just give him what he wants and just bring him back. But his agent said today that the Rangers don't value Sean Avery as much as they should. They don't realize how important Sean Avery is to the franchise. So on July 1st, if the Rangers let him get there to free agency, I would not be surprised to see someone offer Sean Avery a big-time contract, and Sean's just going to take it. I mean, he's going to try to get the money, and he deserves the money. And if he leaves, that will really hurt the Rangers. As far as Roosevelt goes, he was the one defenseman that the Rangers could really rely on for some offense. Stahl, Girardi, Tootin, those type of guys were more defensive defensemen. Roosevelt was the offensive defenseman, someone that could score goals on the power play, had a big-time shot, and was able to put the puck in the net more often than not. So he would be a big loss as well. Straka, I don't think you're going to lose much there. I think it may be time to let him go. Same with Shanahan, who seemed to get old quickly last season. He was not the same player as he was even the year before with the Rangers. And Yager, I mean, it's going to be tough to let him go, but I would not overpay him. He did show some signs of life in the postseason, but in the regular season he was spotty. He looked old at times, and I mean, I wouldn't overpay him. If he wants to come back at a reduced rate, sure, why not? I'd love to have Yarmir Yagabek. He's still a force, but definitely don't want to overpay for him. But I think Avery and Roosevelt, the Rangers should do anything in their power to bring him back. And then in terms of the free agents out there. And then you got to make a big run at Marian Hossa. He's clearly the number one free agent out there. It seems like he's going to make it to free agency. Doesn't look like him and the Penguins are close on to getting to a deal, so I don't think he will be signed before the July 1st date. And I definitely think the Rangers will make a big run at him. I mean, the Rangers won't be the only team. Pretty much all NHL teams will want Marian Hossa on their team. He's a big force, and hopefully the Rangers can maybe bring him in. But Avery and Roosevelt, I think the Rangers would not be smart if they let those two walk.
Totally agree with you. Yager, I think, reading somewhere, he said he would have no problem going back to the New York Rangers as long as the New York Rangers really, truly wanted him. And Yager knows his age, knows that he's older, and he's always going to do well in the playoffs. I mean, you'll see during the regular season him just kind of gliding across the ice, and, you know, that could get you very angry at times. But he knows that's because of his age, and if the team around him is good enough to get to the playoffs, which I think the Rangers are, he'll do well in the playoffs. He conserves his energy throughout the year, so that way he can perform well in the playoffs. So, you know, he's not a stupid player, and he's not one of those guys who's going to walk away and be all old and have that terrible end of the career, and, like, he's like a bust because he's so old. He's not going to be one of those players. He's, you know, he'll be able to perform well in the playoffs. He paces himself throughout the season to be able to do that. All right, so now let's do a little bit of a recap of the NHL draft. Again, if you're just tuning in, our show is scheduled. We have it scheduled for 90 minutes just so we don't run out of time. We're not going to use the full 90 minutes, though, I don't think. It doesn't seem likely. So let's go over just like the first pick for both the Islanders and the New York Rangers. Now, the first pick that the New York Islanders took was a center, Joshua Bailey. And he's really a great guy on the power play. He could be that real strong guy on the power play. But I think the Islanders last year really didn't have anybody. I mean, they were an awful, awful team. Towards the end of the season, they called up their big prospect, Kyle Okposo. He made his debut against the Maple Leafs. So, I mean, there's some promise with their younger guys that they already have. And now, you know, Joshua Bailey, who they, I mean, the Islanders certainly can use a guy like him on the power play. I mean, he's not going to be in the NHL next year, but the Islanders do have a lot of trouble finishing their plays, or at least they did last year. So I think Joshua Bailey would be a good addition to the team as that explosive offensive player. Brett, how do you think Joshua Bailey would contribute to the Islanders?
Well, the Islanders actually held the fifth pick in this draft and traded down to the seventh pick and then traded down to the ninth pick. And I guess Joshua Bailey was the guy they thought they could get at number nine, maybe someone they were really interested in. But to say that he's going to help at the power play, I mean, by the time he goes to the Islanders, maybe their power play will be one of the best in the league. It's not like he's going to be playing for them next season. He's going to play at lower levels before he even makes it to the NHL. So, I mean, you don't know what type of team the Islanders are going to be when he finally makes it to the big show. So it's hard to say. Well, he'll definitely help out their power play because he's not going to help out the 08-09 Islanders, that's for sure.
That's certainly true. And just going down the Islanders' lines, I mean, they took another center after him. They took a couple of defensemen. And they took another center, another defenseman, right winger defenseman. And they took a goalie later on. And at the end of the draft, another center, another defenseman. So a lot of defensemen and centers that the Islanders were choosing. So maybe in a couple of years, you'll see one of the better faceoff teams in the league. And some good defense, I don't know. But that's pretty much what the Islanders did in terms of their draft. And then a guy that the New York Rangers took first was a defenseman, and I know that he's not going to be in the NHL right away, of course, but he's a defenseman. I think they could use some more defense as well, and he's more of an offensive-minded defenseman. And, you know, with the loss of Roosevelt, which they may have, now you have Delzato, who could be up in a few years as an offensive-minded defenseman. But reading up on Delzato with how good he is on the power play and, you know, his explosive offensive mind despite being a defenseman, the guy that he really reminds me of is a guy on the Toronto Maple Leafs who I'm always scared of when the Rangers play him. He's got a really hard shot. He's also a defenseman, Brian McCabe. And I mean, when I read up on Michael Delzato, I feel like I'm reading about Brian McCabe. Hopefully he could be as good as he is. But the problem with him is he's too offensive. His position is defense, but he pretty much plays offense. He needs to improve his defensive side of the game. That's pretty much all I got on him. What are your thoughts on Michael Delzato?
Well, based on what the Rangers said, Rangers were shocked that he fell to number 20. They had him as ranked as a top 15 player in the draft. So they were very happy that they were able to get him at 20. And reading up before the draft, the Rangers were looking to trade up. And I wonder if they were going to trade up to try to take Delzato, and they just happened to fall in their laps at number 20. The Rangers seemed thrilled to get this guy. I mean, I've obviously never seen him play. I don't know much about him. But, I mean, hopefully he becomes a real deal. And, I mean, the Rangers took an offensive defenseman a couple years ago in the draft when they took Bobby Sanguinetti. And maybe both of these guys can make a lethal defensive pairing in a few years with the Rangers. But, I mean, there's not much. I mean, the Rangers seem thrilled to get him, so hopefully he develops well and becomes an outstanding defenseman for the Rangers.
And then moving on, just some of the other picks that they took in the draft. They only took centers and defensemen. Rangers didn't have a lot of picks. They only had about
six. Well, they traded their fourth-round pick in the Christian Backman deal. And then to get that fourth-round pick back, they traded this year's seventh-round pick. So they had a pick, one pick in each of the first six rounds. They did not have a seventh-round pick. There are seven rounds in this draft. So they've got six new players. And, I mean, hopefully we see some of these with the big club in a few years.
And as I said, centers and defensemen only. They didn't take anybody else. I don't know enough about the other players to really say anything about them. Based on their positions, though, it never hurts to have too much defense, and you need guys who could win faceoffs. So, you know, centers and defensemen are popular in the draft because when you win the faceoffs and you have possession of the puck, that's how you're going to score goals. So that pretty much sums up the NHL draft right there. And now what we're going to do is we're going to take another commercial break. And when we come back, we'll give you a little preview of who we think the Knicks are going to take in the draft. The draft is this Thursday. The Knicks have the 6th pick in the NBA draft. We'll tell you who we think they're going to take, and we'll tell you how we think that person could contribute to the team. So we're going to be right back, and then we'll do the NBA.
He popped him up. He's going to get it. Grosius down from third. Grosius makes the catch. Ball game over. A perfect game. A perfect game for David Cone.
There is Deal. Fastball hit in the air to left field. That's deep. Back goes Chavez back near the wall. Leaping, and he made the catch. He took a home run away from Rowland. Trying to get back to first Edmund. He's doubled off. And the inning is over.
Broken bat. Foul ball off the right side. And the barrel of the bat came out to Clemens. And he picks it up and throws it back. And Piazza's walking out toward the mound. And now the home plate umpire, Charlie Rutherford, gets in between them. Piazza points to himself. And so does Clemens.
In the air to deep right field. That ball headed toward the wall. That ball is out of here. Out of here. A game-winning grand slam home run off the bat of Robin Baker.
Driving the air to center field. Timo Perez jumps in the air, waiting for it to come down. Makes the catch. And the New York Mets are the 2000 National League champions.
Giambi on his way to third. And they're going to wave him around. The throw misses a cutoff man. Shoving it in the plate. One of the most unbelievable plays you will ever see by a shortstop.
And the 0-1 swung on, hit in the air to deep center. Bernie back, away back. He's there. He makes the catch. Ball game over. World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Is Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
Swing to the front, he's gone! Metal! The man Metal! And the Rangers have one more hill to climb, baby! But it's Moose Vancouver! The Rangers are headed to the final!
Once again, it'll be a 3-2. The stretch and pitch. Swung on and popped up again. Off third, Hayes has room. Hayes makes the catch! Yankees win! The Yankees win! The New York Yankees have won the 1996 World Series.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. Norwood missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25.
And the Cavs with 1:06. Puck is dropped. The Cavs control. And it's all over. The New York Rangers have won the Stanley Cup. Something most people did not think they would hear in their lifetime.
Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan, your source for all New York sports.
Okay, welcome back to the show. We're going to close it up in about 7 minutes from now. Unless, of course, you guys want to jump into the discussion out there, you can call us, 718-508-9443. IM us on AOL Instant Messenger, GMen 1021 1780, or if you have a Blog Talk Radio account, talk to us in our Blog Talk Radio web chat. Evan with the night off. Sports 7 correspondent Brett Wishnia is with us tonight, who knows pretty much everything about sports that you would ever need to know. So before we close out the show, let's talk about the NBA draft and, of course, New York sports show. So we're focusing on the New York Knicks. They had such a terrible season last year. It's a shame that they only have the 6th pick in the draft. It's unbelievable how the Bulls got the first pick. But the Knicks are at number 6. So, Brett, who is in line for the New York Knicks? Who are they going to take? What kind of contributions can he make to the team? Who are a few guys that could potentially go to number 6?
Well, based on what Mike D'Antoni has said over the past few weeks, it looks like the Knicks want a point guard. Someone to run the offense. Stephon Marbury has 1 year left on the contract. He's definitely not in the future plans. And the Knicks need someone who can run the point. You saw with New Orleans, Chris Paul emerged. and he led that team to a nice postseason run. Darren Williams of the Jazz, who ironically enough was just named to the Olympic team. So you see these point guards, Steve Nash, where then point guards seem to be important in leading these teams to big postseason runs. So, I mean, the Knicks would love Jared Bayless of Arizona to still be there at number six, but it does not look like he will be. It looks like he will not get past number four. But if Jared Bayless is there at number six, you could count on the Knicks jumping to get him. Other options at number six, Eric Gordon from Indiana. He's more of a shooting guard than a point guard, but he can play both. So I think he's an option. And a guy from Italy, he's not a point guard. He's a small forward who the Knicks seem to be very interested in. Also is Danilo Gallinari. He's probably an option there. And then maybe Westbrook from UCLA as maybe a sleeper type guy there. But I mean, the Knicks really did not get lucky there with getting the number six pick. I mean, hopefully you get lucky and you get a player to emerge there from number six. But the Knicks really needed one of these top flight players to turn their franchise around, a franchise type player, a Derrick Rose type, who, you know, could step in immediately and make a major impact. But number six, maybe the Knicks maybe look to trade that pick to get an all-star, similar to what the Celtics did last year when they traded their number five pick and got Ray Allen on draft night. Maybe the Knicks do that. But one name I'm hearing, and I really hope the Knicks do not do this, is to trade for Leandro Barbosa from Phoenix, someone that D'Antoni coached and likes. His contract, I mean, he has many years left on it, and this idea that the Knicks keep on saying they want to get under the cap, well, if you trade for someone like Leandro Barbosa, who's not an impact player, it will not make a difference whether or not the Knicks start winning games. And he has a contract that runs through 2012. That's not the type of player you get. If you can somehow pry Carmelo Anthony away from Denver, then that's the type of guy you get. But not these marginal players that Isaiah Thomas used to love to trade for. Please do not bring Leandro Barbosa in. If the Knicks trade their number six pick and the guy they get back is Leandro Barbosa, I may have a heart attack. That better not be the move they make. And I read about that this morning, and I really hope that's not true.
Yeah, and it certainly doesn't surprise me with Mike D'Antoni wanting to go for a huge offensive player. The Knicks do need it, and of course D'Antoni not known for teaching defense by any means. So I think you'll have an easier time coaching offensive-minded players rather than defensive-minded players. The Knicks, of course, have always had trouble with defense, and D'Antoni's certainly not going to help that cause, and not having any defensive-minded players is not going to help that cause either. I don't know what having only explosive offensive players would do and not having defense. I don't know if it's possible. But, Brett, out of those guys, who do you think is the most likely for the Knicks to take a number six?
Well, I would really love Jared Bayless to fall, but I don't think he will. I guess Eric Gordon. I mean, he's a freshman. He had a very good season for Indiana. But he's not really an I don't think he's like a guy who's going to turn the franchise around. I can see someone like him winding up being drafted by the Knicks on draft night. But, I mean, like I said, the Knicks really did not get lucky by the ping pong balls falling to get the number six pick. I was really banking on one of those top two. Didn't happen. Nothing's happened right for the Knicks. So, I mean, we'll see what happens on Thursday night. But I just hope they do not trade for Leandro Barbosa.
And, of course, we will sum up that draft next week. But for now, we'll close it out. Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan is a sports radio show created for informing the public of the latest sports news and insights. Our show is broadcast over the Internet through blogtalkradio.com from Jericho, New York. The views, comments, and statements of our interviews and guests do not necessarily reflect that of the host. We do not also claim ownership of any material used on the sports show or on the website, including voiceovers, musical beds, instrumentations, effects, team logos, league, and team names otherwise stated. If there's anything you wish to remove, email us, sports7withmarkandevan@yahoo.com. You can also email us at sports7withmarkandevan@yahoo.com for any other questions you have. You want to talk sports, you want to advertise, whatever it is. Sports7withmarkandevan@yahoo.com. Also, please check out our official site, sports7withmarkandevan.webs.com. If I were to tell you all the things you could do on that website, we would be here for another hour and a half. You have to check it out. And, of course, our new YouTube video that we made for the show is up on that site, so you definitely want to check that out. And that pretty much closes it out. So we'll be here next week. Same time, same place, same great show. It's Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan live out of Jericho. For Brett Wishnia, I'm Mark Elliott. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week, and we will leave you with Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline. And again, thank you to Brett for coming on the show tonight.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Touching warm, reaching out, touching me.